Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Richard Callahan, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Archdale, North Carolina. The title of his message is, Make Your Life Count for Christ. The text is from the book of Jude, verses 20 through 25.
Good morning. You came back. I'm glad to have you. I am especially thrilled to be here with you. It is a joy to come back to Greenville. Again, it is my hometown. And yet, it is also a special thrill to come on campus of Bob Jones anytime. You will have to be gone for a while to appreciate what you get here. And it's a joy to come back on the campus, and every place you go, it reminds you of a memory. I still can remember the day that I became a student. That first semester that found me like the Gadarene demoniac, sitting and clothed and in my right mind. At least I was sitting and clothed anyway. But the changes that came about, it was an exciting time. God was doing things in my life as He is in yours. And seemed like there were just so many things that were happening. And the privilege of serving and learning what it was to serve the Lord. As I started my college career, another ministry was getting started, the Wilds. And working there that first summer, and the joy of seeing camp work on a close personal level, spending several summers on the mission field, learning what it is to serve God on the foreign field. Number of opportunities that were mine, and you now are experiencing that, and it is a special time in our lives when we come to that place. You are making friends, lifetime friends. I remember before I became a student, I met the girl who would later become my wife, and the times we had as students together, friends that I made. I knew Dr. Parker when he was not half the man that he is today, but we have been longtime friends. And so many of these men that are seated on this platform were in school when I was, and it has been an encouragement to me to see how God has taken them and used them, wonderful servants of Christ. Years pass. I think of some friends that were a great encouragement to me when I was a student. And yet they have gone out and they've made shipwreck of their lives. Young men and women who at the time of their education were zealous for the Lord. A joy to be around. But somewhere they got off track. I want to encourage you this morning to make your life count for Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the little epistle of Jude. We have just a few minutes together. Jude wrote this short epistle. He wanted to write of the common salvation and the wonders that we have in Christ Jesus. But he found that he was constrained. He must write of those things that were appearing in his day. And so this little epistle, one chapter, he challenges us to contend for the faith. And he tells us in the first 16 verses why we must contend for the faith. But starting in the 17th verse, he tells us how to do it. Now, I'm not about to go through this passage, but I want to draw your attention, first of all, to verse 24. Here Jude says, Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. You know, it is a wonderful, wonderful truth to know that Christ keeps me. He keeps me. He keeps me from falling. He keeps me so that one day He will present me, you, His bride, faultless. It'll be His joy and ours in that grand and glorious day. He is able to keep that which you have committed unto Him against that day. He keeps us. How glad I am for that. You know, that's why you ought to make much of Christ in your life. He is the one keeping you. Something is wrong with a Christianity that ignores Christ. Something's wrong with a life that professes to know Him, but is never near Him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, greatly used of God, a man of towering intellect and of great spiritual insight and wisdom, greatly used of God, the prince of preachers. He came to the end of his life, and on his deathbed, his friends were gathered around him. And Spurgeon said this. He said, "My theology has become very simple. It consists of four words. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me." Young people, don't ever forget, that's going to be the eternal song of the redeemed. Christ died for me. Stay close to the Lord if you want your life to count for Christ. Remember that He'll keep you. He'll keep you not only in this life, but all the way home to heaven. He'll keep you till the waters roll beneath your feet. Then He'll bear you safely over, where there your loved ones you'll finally meet. He keeps us. But look up at verse 21. It's a blessed promise to know I am secure in Christ. But here Jude tells us, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now he gives us the other side of the coin. I have a responsibility to keep myself in the love of God. Keep yourself close to Christ. Christ is the one who keeps you, and it is for Him that you are to live. So stay close to Him. He doesn't say keep yourself saved. Christ does that for us. Keep God loving you. That's not what He says. But He says you keep yourself in the love of God. How do you do that? How do you live a lifetime of service for Him? Look what Jude has to tell us in just a few minutes. First of all, he says in verse 20 that you and I are to be building ourselves on our most holy faith. Building yourself. You stay close to Christ by building your life. Every time a preacher stands and preaches, he realizes that the congregation is divided in half. Saved, unsaved. He realizes that he is preaching to some who are trees and others who are posts. You plant a tree in the ground and it will grow. You stick a post in the same soil and it will rot. It is a joy to every pastor to watch a young plant grow and be fruitful for Christ. But it is one of the most tragic experiences in the ministry to watch a young person who is nothing but a post slowly, over a period of years, decay. Make sure you're in Christ. But if you are in the Lord Jesus, then build your life on Christ. Don't allow yourself to be static. You're always to be at this matter of building. Peter says, give all diligence to add to your faith. You ought to be growing. I know you're growing academically. I know you're challenged intellectually. But you are to always be building on your most holy faith. When God told Moses to build the tabernacle. He exhorted him to build according to the pattern that I have shown you. Make sure you follow my design. Make sure, young people, you're building your life according to God's pattern. God has a blueprint. You find it in the Word of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders, said, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." Get into the Word of God, young people, now while you're young, while your life is ahead of you. Make it your holy determination that the Word of God is going to be the vital portion and food for your life. Build according to God's plans. It is so easy to live like everybody else in the world is living. But God calls you to live differently. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. Build your faith. Get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. Build some Bible convictions. Rock ribs, soul deep, lifelong convictions that will allow you to stand. They'll support you when God places on you the weights, the burdens of this life. It is the Word of God that builds you and makes you what you ought to be for Christ. Study the history of the church, and you'll find that great men and women that God has used have always been men and women who have been in this book. George Mueller of Bristol. Did you ever read of Mueller? God used him in a unique way. He was a man of faith and prayer. If you've never read his biography, you've missed out. It's an easy read, but my, the challenge that it is. Do you know that George Mueller was used of God in such a remarkable way because he was a man of this book? Over 200 times, Mueller read through the Word of God. Over half of those times, he did it on his knees, praying, studying. Is it any wonder God could trust him with all that he did? He kept himself in the love of God. He built himself on the Word of God. If I ask you this morning, how many of you believe this book from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, every one of you would slip your hand right into the air. But if I then ask you, how many of you are reading it regularly from cover to cover, could you raise your hand? God has given you His Word, not to increase your knowledge, but to change your life. You build on your most holy faith. Jude says something else. If I'm going to make my life count for Christ, if I'm going to keep myself in the love of God, I'm going to be building on my faith, but also praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, the great failures of our day is a failure to pray. Or if we pray, we pray one time, two times. If we don't get an answer, we stop praying. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 gives us the great privilege that is ours. There the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I think oftentimes we forget what it was like before Christ came. For 1,500 years, there was a veil that hung between the Holy of Holies and the holy place in the temple, in the tabernacle before that. That veil served one purpose. It was to keep men from the presence of God. God established it. God put it there. It was death to go beyond that veil. Now, Calvary changed all of that. When Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. Now we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. We're to come by the way of the blood, by the way of the cross. You imagine. Imagine a young Moabite making his way over to the tabernacle. And he gets there, and there's the keeper of the gate. He stops and he talks to this one who stands there guarding its entry. The keeper looks at him and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "Well, I'm a man of Moab. And I've come to worship your God. I want to go in there and to worship Him." And the keeper says, "Oh, no, you can't do that. The law of our God forbids you until the 10th generation. A man from Moab cannot come." And so the young man says, "Well, how can I escape the curse of this God?" The keeper says, "Oh, well, you would have to be born again. You would have to be born an Israelite. That's the only way that you could come in. You'd have to be of Dan or Ephraim or Judah." The young man says, "Well, I wish I had been born an Israelite. I wish I'd been born of the tribe of Judah. You know, if I were, I would go in and I would help those priests. I'd do anything they want. I'd clean the ashes. I'd do whatever just to be around God." The keeper says, "Oh, no. You don't understand. You have to be born an Israelite, but not of the tribe of Judah. You must be born of the tribe of Levi, because it is only of the tribe of Levi that are able to enter into those things." And so the young man says, "Oh, I wish I'd been born an Israelite of the tribe of Levi. I'd love to go in there. I'm strong. I could help those priests lift those animals. I'd be glad to do what I could." And the keeper says, "Oh, no, you don't understand. There's something further. You see, you'd not only have to be born an Israelite and of the tribe of Levi, but you'd have to be of the family of Aaron. For it's only the family of Aaron that is allowed to be priests of the Most High God." Well, the young Moabite, he goes through it again. He says, "Oh, I wish I could have been born an Israelite, of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Aaron. I'd love just to go in there. I see that covered area. It looks so beautiful. Tell me, what's it like in there?" The keeper says, "Oh, it is beautiful. There's gold everywhere. Golden lampstand. Golden altar. Beautiful linen. Purple, blue, scarlet. It is absolutely beautiful there. And then there's a veil. A veil. Behind that thick veil, there's the Ark of the Covenant. There, seated atop the Ark of the Covenant, is the mercy seat. There is where God meets with us. You see the cloud that rests over the camp? Did you notice that it sits right over the tabernacle? It represents God's very presence. God dwells in that cloud." No, Moabite said, "Oh, I would love to go beyond the veil. I'd love to go into the Holy of Holies." And the keeper says, "Oh, no, you don't understand. No one is allowed to go beyond the veil. Only the high priest. And the high priests come only from the house of Eleazar. You must be an Israelite. You must be a Levite. You must be of the family of Aaron. You must be of the house of Eleazar in order to go into the holy place." And the young Moabite says, "Oh, I wish that were my case. You know, if I were of that house, I would go in there every day, 3 times a day. I'd go in and I would enjoy the presence of God. I would worship Him." And the keeper says, No, let me tell you one other thing. You see, the high priest can go into that place only once a year. And when he goes in there, he must take very careful ritual cleansing and precaution. And when he goes in, he must go in quickly and apply the blood, sprinkle the blood there, and then move quickly out, or his life is in danger. The young Moabite looks at the keeper. The keeper shakes his head, says, "Son, there is no way you will ever enter into there." Now, can you imagine that? It's hard for me to fathom. And Hebrews 4:16 says, you and I have the privilege to come boldly, freely to the throne of grace. God has mercy for you. And God has grace to help you. Every student needs help. Go to the Lord. How do you build your life? You pray in the Holy Ghost. What else do you do? You're looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. Christ is coming again. And I'm to spend my life and you're to spend your life looking for His soon return. Watching, eagerly anticipating His coming. Waiting for Him. Jesus Christ could come at any moment. That's the hope, the encouragement that we find. And when you keep that truth always before you, it'll keep your life pure. When you have this hope in you, you will keep yourself pure, the Scripture teaches us. It'll give you joy in the midst of trial, because I'm to be eagerly anticipating, longing for His coming. Looking for the soon return of the Lord Jesus. The mercy of His coming. Be careful that you don't spend your lifetime wasting precious years working for things that mean nothing. What a tragedy to have everything to live with and nothing to live for. Keep your eyes on Christ if you want your life to count for Him. And then let me hit one other area. And that is this, the importance of loving others. Look, if you would please, at verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You and I watched with wonder 9/11. It drew a nation to a standstill as we saw those buildings come crashing down. But the absolutely unbelievable part was the work of the firemen. Ordinary men and women who did extraordinary things on that day. Men who could have stayed out of the flames, stayed out of the danger zone, but willingly marched in to save lives. Beloved, may I remind you that we live in that environment, spiritually speaking. There are those all around you who will be all around you for the rest of your life who know not the Lord Jesus. You're going to live your life around those who are without Christ, who need Christ. You have the answer. You have the water of life, the bread of life. And you have a holy obligation. If you can say that you love the Lord Jesus this morning, then you must say that you love others and that you love the souls of men. You cannot love Christ if you do not love others. One day we're going to stand before the Lamb. John talks about the Lamb just as if it had been slain. The wounds still in His hands, His feet, His side, His brow. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine being before Him? He bears those wounds because He loved sinners. And when you stand before Him, it will not matter nearly so much how many degrees you got at Bob Jones University. It will not matter nearly so much the honors you may have achieved here. Because when God rewards those who stand before Him, when Christ passes out reward, it will not be for your degree. It will be for the scars that you have borne, for the people that you have loved. You know, Mrs. Brenda Vaughn is a lady that I esteem very highly. You know the story. She, for love of a child, for love of her own child, reached into the flames and snatched that burning brand out of the fire. What an astounding thing. Remarkable. But God says that you and I are to have that same kind of love that a mother has for her daughter. You and I who live in this world are to be God's firemen, always alert to those who are perishing in the flames. And we're to snatch them, we're to seize them every opportunity we can. A fireman never loves entering a fire. They hate the fire. They realize that the fire is the enemy. He goes into that fire for one reason alone. He goes plunging into that building in order to save a life. He hates the smell of the fire. He hates the stain of the fire. But he realizes he must, for a short time, live in the fire in order to save others. He's very careful not to let the flames get on him. But he goes into that inferno to save others. God has us here. God wants to use you and me to win others for Christ. And we're to snatch them everywhere we can. God loves all sinners, and you are too. But God's going to allow some sinners to come across your path. And when you come in contact with those, you are to be exercising great mercy. It's a real danger. It's a real danger of having a full, hot head and an empty, cold heart. And that can happen to a Christian. Young people, keep yourself in the love of God. Build your life on the Word of God. Pray. Pray faithfully, fervently. Spend your lifetime approaching the throne of grace. Look for Christ. He's coming soon. And love others as Jesus does. Make your life count for Him. Live a life that counts for eternity. Father, this morning we thank Thee for these young people. It is a joy to be here with them. And we pray for them. We ask, Lord, that Thou wouldst help them to realize their holy responsibility in the midst of a darkened world. Lord, may we love Thee as we ought. And may we love others as Christ. Bless them for Jesus' sake. Meet every need. We pray for this young man who's just lost his father. Lord, we ask that You'd help him to know in a real way the grace of God. Help him to know that he's kept in the very hollow of Your hand.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Richard Callahan, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Archdale, North Carolina. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.